The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know,
B&E with you on a Friday, getting you into a busy weekend. Great, pretty good sports calendar this weekend for sure. It's also from a National Left-Handers Day or International Left-Handers Day. This weekend is you'll have National Relaxation Day, so we're going to give you some tips on how to relax this weekend.
I'm going to try that today.
Key to relax.
I'm going to actually try to relax today.
Also, we have your highlights and headlines coming up. We've got Hot or Not, Salacious, we just finished Hot or Not. We've got Salacious Gossip and Your Blitz. And safe to say a good day for tight ends in the NFL yesterday, Bob. It's always a good day to have a tight end. But, you know, they mentioned Halle Berry is 54 today.
54.
Good day for tight ends. Travis Kelce, 4 years, $57 million with the Chiefs. That came on the heels of George Kittle getting the monster contract in San Francisco. And Kyle Shanahan says he's pumped that they got that deal done. That's an important cog to their machine.
Sure it is. It's important to that tight end, too.
It is. This guy, a Baker Mayfield fan, lashed out a little bit on Twitter or text to us. Says it's not. You guys are seriously putting it all on Baker? O-line is awful. He's had four OCs the past 2 years. That is true.
Yeah,
to Baker Mayfield. Awful last year.
He was awful. And I thought it was the coaching was just, I mean, they just had the wrong guy coaching. I don't know why. But then again, it's Cleveland. They do some kind of wacky things, and that was wacky to have that guy being their head coach.
Oh, here's a trivia question, and I'll add it up, but if one of you show historians out there can add it up quicker, because I have to do the headlines here in a minute. How many head football coaches have the Cleveland Browns had since the Spurs didn't make the playoffs?
17?
Yeah, a bad bet. And who's their coach right now? Anybody know who the Browns coach is?
No. No, I don't remember.
Kevin Stefanski.
Stefanski, offensive coordinator.
Your Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that's now I remember. I remember.
I will add it up, but if someone adds it up sooner, you could do that. Because if you take the combination of, I'm going to guess this before I look it up. I would guess since the Spurs last missed the playoffs, which was 1997, 22 years, I would guess the Browns, who, what year did they come back? They didn't even come back as the Browns until 99. Or 98. I got to look that up too. But I would bet they have, if you combine head coaches and starting quarterbacks.
Oh, forget it.
I'll bet it's over 40. Well, that might be high. But you combine the two, starting quarterbacks and head coaches, you want to talk about what's wrong with the Browns and to the Texans?
High 20s.
Oh, I think if you combine the quarterback and head coach positions.
No, that's right. The quarterback should be close to that.
Yeah, because they rotated through. It's probably 30-ish. And that's a big number, but someone will add it up, or I'll do it during the time during the break.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get the headlines and run through the top stories of your Friday morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news, and it starts with big news from the NCAA, where Mark Emmert yesterday, he's the president of the NCAA, announced that the competition for fall championships at the D1 level in every sport besides FBS football will not be possible.
We cannot now, at this point, have fall NCAA championships because there's not enough schools participating. The board also established, Board of Governors also said, look, if you don't have half of the schools playing a sport, you can't have a legitimate championship. So we can't in any Division I NCAA championship sport now, which is everything other than FBS football that goes on in the fall. So sadly, tragically, that's going to be the case this fall. Full stop.
All right. Obviously, the decision impacts FCS football, men's and women's cross country, men's and women's soccer, women's volleyball, men's water polo, and field hockey will not compete. How does that affect Texas? Texas, four sports, team sports in the fall. The volleyball team, women's soccer, men's and women's cross country. As of now, Texas could still play those sports, compete in Big 12 play. Conference cleared the way for that earlier this week. But no official word from UT yet on that front. In the NBA, Spurs, record tying run of 22 consecutive appearances in the playoffs, over. And they actually, it was over before they hit the floor last night when they played Utah. They lost the game 118-112, but earlier in the day, Phoenix won, Memphis won. That eliminated San Antonio. It's the first time they've hit the floor since April of 1997 that they have played a game knowing that the playoffs were out of reach. Pretty incredible. The wild race for that Western Conference eighth spot is going to come down to Portland and Memphis. They both won yesterday. They're going to face off in a play-in series this weekend. Dame Lillard and the Blazers need to win one game. Grizzlies must beat Portland twice to take that spot. Winner will face the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. Seventh-seeded Mavericks will face the LA Clippers in round one beginning Monday. Rockets are the five seed. They're going to face Oklahoma City. Chris Paul and company. Houston will play the first few games of that series without Russell Westbrook. He is dealing with a strained quad. Major League Baseball, Rangers and Astros both off yesterday and last night. Houston home to Seattle tonight to open up a weekend series. Rangers are in Colorado. Both teams chasing the red-hot Oakland A's in the AL West. Some highlights from baseball last night. Cubbies, how about their start? 13-3. They beat the Brewers at Wrigley Field 4-2. Yu Darvish took a no-hitter into the seventh. Cubbies' best start since 1907 as a franchise. Mookie Betts hit three home runs. The Dodgers pounded the Padres. That is notable. Mookie's now had six three-homer games in his career already. He's only 28 years old. That ties him with two others for the second for the most all-time. With six in a career, he's only 28.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Get up to 20% off all Toro and Hustler mowers and Husqvarna chainsaws, weed eaters, and blowers in stock for the month of August.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Well, Jerry Jones get on one of his radio shows today and discuss what he was trying to talk about yesterday. Because that rigmarole yesterday was just...
Rigmarole.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want your players to kneel, you find another way that... Because you want to try to do both. He's trying to do both things. He's trying to please his players. He's trying to please whoever he's trying to please. He's trying to please his sponsors. You got to find a way to please... If you have to be riding the fence, you have to explain it better than you explained it yesterday. You got to do a better job than that. You can't disappear for like 5 months and come back with what he came back with yesterday. And Jerry Jones is a smart dude. I think we said it, E, before he came back. He's going to really think this out because he's got a lot going on politically, sponsorship-wise, Dallas Cowboys-wise, football player-wise. And that was very poorly done yesterday, to tell the truth. It just was. And, I mean... My expectations yesterday, he was going to come out with a really kind of solid statement, whether it's going to be fence riding or whatever, it would sound better than it did yesterday.
Yeah.
You couldn't talk around that. You couldn't talk to a 12-year-old, but the 12-year-old would say, what are you saying?
Well, I think to your point, you know, being gone for 109 days and coming back and people like clamoring for what Jerry thought about everything that went on this summer.
And maybe that's our fault. For thinking he was going to come back with something smarter than that.
Typically, sports fans and we as observers, sometimes the... your expectations, you're let down by the expectation you had.
I think maybe that was it for me.
Well, but I don't think it's unfair to expect Jerry Jones, who's not just the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he's one of the most visible owners in all of sports and one of the most powerful people in all of the NFL. That's indisputable. So to have 109 days to craft some type of statement or stance on where he stands with his players or the kneeling, mm-hmm. which I know it's a story that divides people, but at the same time, Jerry Jones needs to have a position on it. And to say the word grace 17 times and, you know, whatever. He didn't speak very clearly on where he stands. Some would say I speak Jerry Jones, so I understood it. I didn't. We played it several times.
Well, I speak a little Jerry Jones, you know, the double-fisted deal. I mean, we speak a little Jerry Jones. We know some of that stuff we can understand. We got it. You are from Arkansas. So we got some of that. But the grace part, and I took from yesterday, he doesn't want his players kneeling. But he just doesn't know how to say it to the players and make it so there is not just an uprising. He doesn't know how to do it. And I was thinking over the last 100 and some days, you could find a way to smoothly wheel around that. You know what I mean? When you come back and you talk about it. But not that yesterday. That was out of this world.
Yeah. Double handfuls.
Double handfuls. Thank you, Jerry. That's my favorite part.
I got that. That means a caboodle. You know what I'm saying?
Double handfuls?
Double handfuls is a caboodle.
Okay, but have you ever, in your 65 years, heard someone say double handfuls of anything? I've heard caboodles.
You heard caboodles?
I've heard lots. I've heard a plethora.
Many handfuls? I've heard many handfuls. No.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Not double handfuls.
I've never heard double handfuls. I heard many handfuls. Yeah, I just thought it was that.
Okay. And just until we finish this, and I'll get, because I want to talk to the Cowboys specifically. Look, my issue with Jerry would be, is it a concern in his own locker room, right? I mean, what we believe, what we think, whatever, it's just our opinion. But there have been players in his own locker room who have expressed really strong opinions about what's gone on this summer and where they stand on it. And we're waiting to hear Jerry Jones' answer or thoughts on it. And if they were happy with what he said, I don't know. I mean, that would be my question.
You didn't get a response yesterday from players.
Didn't. Now, no. You heard from Dak Prescott on that Zoom chat that they did. And
well, those
Dak,
guys love each other.
Dak was great. Dak.
Yes.
Because Dak, let me say it this way. Jerry came off as unclear or cluttered in his thoughts on all of this stuff. And he didn't really want to take a stance. Dak Prescott was asked about his contract and not getting the deal done, and he couldn't have been more mature about it. He handled it. He says, I want to be here. We're going to be here. I love this team, love this franchise. That's what you want your quarterback to say, because you know behind the scenes there's more to it than that. But he made it, he had it actually exactly right of how to handle it and not make it go further. Like, we played Dak Prescott's sound a couple times, his audio, but it was nothing to say. He handled it. He diffused the story, where there's a big story there. He's a franchise tag quarterback. Who everyone assumed was going to get the deal done, but there was no controversy because he said he was real clear and deliberate about what he said.
I want to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And so it was okay. What else are you going to ask him? I mean, now I think all of us can assume behind the scenes there's more to it.
For sure.
Both sides, but your quarterback handled it. Jerry, he left so much room to debate, and he made it kind of a running punchline with all the graces and the double handfuls and all this other stuff. I still don't know where he stands on the thing, I guess would be my point. I know where Dak is. Do I believe him 100%? I don't know, but at least he clearly stated
I know where Jerry
deliberate
stands.
Manner of where he stands.
I know where Jerry stands for the national anthem. That hasn't changed. I do. That hasn't changed very much.
Is he
going to
punish players who kneel? Is he going to discourage players not to kneel?
I don't know if he's going to discourage. I don't think he's going to punish. But in his mind, he doesn't want that. Which a lot of people don't want, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought he would be a little bit clearer in how he would handle that, and he didn't do it. And maybe that's not for the public. Maybe that's not for the public. Maybe that's for the Dallas Cowboys behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who talks a lot.
And that's the much more important
level. Yeah, it is.
That's
absolutely
the much more important level, the locker room and letting them know where he stands.
Sure.
You know, that can cause a fracture potentially in the locker room if they don't think the owner has their back on these things.
Well, the owner understands he's got a pretty good team this year. I mean, he'd have to be blind to look at what they just picked up yesterday, the player they just picked up, and the fact that how they did in the draft, and if his linebackers are healthy, that's a good football team.
Yeah.
That's a really good football team.
Well, because it starts up front, and they, if healthy, have one of the best offensive lines in the league with the array of talent behind it, and now they're building a pretty salty defensive line. And you know, there's question marks because, you know, what's Gerald McCoy have left? But you signed he and Dontari Poe to go with Tyrone Crawford and DeMarcus
Lawrence. Just hold the fort, those guys.
Well, then you bring in Alden Smith, who, you know, you say what you want about his character, but, man, when he's healthy and he looks like he's got his head on, he can be an impact player just in a situational role. And now you bring in Everson Griffin, who was an excellent player for a long time in Minnesota. We talked about Minnesota going young because they were up against a salary cap and they moved on from so many veteran players. And remember, the Vikings drafted 15 draft picks this past year. They're trying to restock with some younger, cheaper talent. And Everson Griffin was still playing at a high level last year in Minnesota.
Yes, he was.
And he, you know, the Everson Griffin thing is interesting because he was waiting on Jadeveon Clowney to sign, which was kind of going to set the market for defensive ends and pass rushers, which is the position he plays. Well, Clowney still hasn't signed. So eventually, Everson Griffin just had to say, okay, give me a contract. He got a one-year deal with Dallas, kind of a prove-it deal, so he can hit the market again potentially this offseason. But that's a great signing. I mean, to get him this late, we're in August, to get a player of that caliber at a need position to play. Because, look, what you saw last year with DeMarcus Lawrence on one side, DeMarcus is one of the best pass rushers in the league. And so he gets the attention. He gets the double teams. He gets the chip blocks. That let Robert Quinn play on the other side and really have a heck of a year, which led to the big contract he signed in Chicago. You know, the question becomes, you know, Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, they've got some young guys that they like at defensive end, too. You know, and then, boy, a guy like Neville Gallimore, the kid they drafted in the third round of Oklahoma, can he come in and at least give you some reps? Last year's first pick, the kid Tristan Hill out of South Florida, can in year two, he take a step forward. That case, at that point, you have a lot of depth.
Yes, you do.
On the defensive line in front of those linebackers and Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch and
those
Sean
two
Lee.
Right there will be – they were going to be special anyway. And now that Van Der Esch is healthy, I think, once again, and it takes a lot of pressure off of Jalen Smith. I thought Jalen Smith played really outside the box. He played so far outside the box, people attacked him. And he, whatever the system they played last year, and we can blame it on the defense and defensive coordinator and the system that they played, but that guy was too talented, E, to look the way he looked last year. He had like a stumble bum at linebacker last year, and they picked on him. With Van Der Esch back, those two together, that's a tough, tough duo right there.
B&E with you on a Friday, the two great lefties you guys missed, Gale Sayers. I didn't know he's left-handed.
Know that.
And Bruce.
That's right. He throws. That's right. I've seen him throw halfback passes before.
Bruce Caitlin
Sorry
Jenner
about
is also
that.
Left-handed. Bruce Caitlin Jenner.
Greatest lefty of all, okay, Gale Sayers.
And maybe I said this. So for the Cleveland Browns, by my count, since the Spurs last missed the playoffs, and remember the Browns, when the Cleveland Browns left to go to Baltimore, they didn't have a team for several years. They came back online in 1999. And the Spurs had already started their playoff run, right? But by my count, the number of coaches and quarterbacks who have either number of head coaches who have head coached a game and quarterbacks who have started a game for the Cleveland Browns since 1999 is 56.
Since 99?
That's the number I have. They've had, by my count, 12 coaches. They started with, because the coach before they left to go to Baltimore was a guy named Bill Belichick. Then they went to Baltimore. He went to New England. And Ozzie Newsome went to Baltimore and built the Ravens into a champion. Cleveland didn't have a team until 99. Then it was Chris Palmer was their first coach. 2 years later, they hired Butch Davis, the former Miami coach. He got fired. Terry Robiskie was their interim coach. Then Romeo Crennel was hired for 3 years, and he didn't do much. Eric Mangini was hired. Pat Shurmur was hired. Rob Chudzinski had a couple-year spell. Mike Pettine was the coach for a year or so. Hugh Jackson, Greg Williams, Freddie Kitchens, and now Kevin Stefanski.
And dude, that's a list of bad stuff right there.
And he has not coached a game yet. So, you know, so that's 12. That's 12 coaches since 99, where the Spurs have been in the playoffs every year and had one coach in Greg Popovich. But the quarterbacks is even more alarming because because I said how many starting quarterbacks they had, right? I mean, that's a smaller number. But how many quarterbacks have started a game for the Browns? That's 46. 46 different quarterbacks, and if you kind of just add up the quarterbacks that were supposed to be their franchise quarterback, Tim Couch.
For sure.
Bad draft pick. Ty Detmer was his backup. He started a couple games. Tim Couch got 4 seasons and never did much. Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Kelly Holcomb. Trent Dilfer. Someone named Charlie Fry. Somebody named Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn.
That was going to be the guy.
Ken Dorsey.
That was going to be the guy.
Bruce Gradkowski, then there was Colt McCoy for 2010 and 2011 with Jake DeLome at the end of his career, Seneca Wallace, Brandon Whedon.
He wasn't a draft pick of the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, he was, first round.
How long did that last?
Jason Campbell, remember him from Auburn?
Yep.
Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Josh McCown, Cody Kessler, Robert Griffin III, Deshaun Kaiser, remember Deshaun Kaiser out of Notre Dame?
Another first-round pick?
Yeah, second-round pick. Kevin Hogan out of Stanford, Baker Mayfield, and Tyrod Taylor. There you go. That is, so to the texter's point about Baker Mayfield being just part of the problem, yes, there's the word instability jumps to mind.
Were this whole list, were they just bad quarterbacks that got picked up as number one?
Or was the organization bad,
which
the
was
problem?
It? Was it the organization? Were they bad players? Because some
it's
of these
a combination
are, by the way,
bad,
some of these are bad players.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's a combination of bad draft picks and draft evaluation and then bad organization. No question. And that was my question coming out of Hot or Not on Baker Mayfield. Is Baker Mayfield, because we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr., is Baker Mayfield, was it a bad draft pick or is it just a horrible organization?
I'm still going to say it was a horrible organization. I'm not going to give up so easily on Baker Moneymaker, okay?
You know who else started a game for the Browns in that stretch? A guy named Spurgeon Winn in 2000 from Southwest Texas State University.
They have players on there like Jason Campbell and Brandon Wheaton. These are like first-round draft picks. How did you not know they weren't any good? I mean, their guys are not, just aren't good. How do you make that many mistakes?
Well, if you think about draft picks, Tim Couch was the first overall pick. Derek Anderson, I think, was a pretty high draft pick of theirs at one point. Colt McCoy was a second-round pick for them. Brandon Whedon was a first-round pick. Johnny Manziel was a first-round pick. DeShone Kizer was a second-round pick. Baker Mayfield was the first pick.
The best quarterbacks they've had in that span have been, and think about this, Colt McCoy and Bernie Kosar.
No, Bernie was not in that spot, not since 99. Kearney was Bernie.
Okay, but he was one of their better quarterbacks, Bernie.
Well, in the history of their organization, their best quarterbacks are Bernie Kosar, Brian Sipe.
Brian Sipe.
And Colt McCoy. Just kidding. But I think
how could
Baker,
it be that bad?
How could it be that bad? That's what Brown fans ask themselves every day. How can it be this bad?
Your dad's not a Brown fan anymore.
Yes, he is.
He's still a Brownie fan?
Yes, he is. My good friend Sean's a Brown. I mean, I know Brown fans. They live. They exist.
So they like Baker, moneymaker. They think Baker's the guy.
They hope.
They don't think. They just hope. It's just a bunch of hope.
If there's a fan base that says tap the brakes more than the Browns, I'd be surprised. Because they want to be excited, but they understand.
That it's probably not going to work out for them. Otto Graham.
I would say going into last season, the Browns fans that I know, including my father, were as excited as I've seen them in a long time. Because Baker had that great run, you know, looked like they had the guy. Here comes Odell Beckham. Here's Jarvis Landry. Here's Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Good defense.
Miles Garrett. And it just, last year was so demoralizing.
God.
Because they not only were they not good, they were
pretty
awful.
That list right there will demoralize you. I mean, I'm serious.
Well, and meanwhile, the stable organizations, like Tom Brady has started almost every game for the Patriots. And that's like the height example. But, you know, stability at quarterback and stability at head coach are the two most important factors for a professional organization.
So as much as you hate Pete Carroll's a good coach.
Great coach. Stabilizing. Andy Reid.
Because they can make it with semi-bad teams. They know how to still win games.
You can make really general judgments there. But if you have stability, if you have a great head coach, who's Pete Carroll or Andy Reid or, you know, obviously Bill Belichick or these guys, and what the Cowboys think with Mike McCarthy, if you have, because Mike McCarthy was 12 years in Green Bay.
Right.
If you have a really good head coach and a really good quarterback, you're a championship caliber team, period. If you have a really good coach with an average quarterback, you're going to fight for the playoffs every year.
But you can win games because of that coach,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. But if you have both, you're a championship team.
Yeah, you're Pat Mahomes.
You're the Chiefs now. You're Seattle for the last 10 years because of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. You're Bill Belichick. You're Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy in Green Bay.
Oh, that scares me. So you're Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy.
That's your group.
That's on the verge of being special, but it's also on the verge of being pretty average.
Or it's magic.
Did you just call those two magic?
I'm suggesting it's open to conversation. I'll watch.
I suggest this. Specs text line.
I don't doubt Mike McCarthy's resume as a head football coach in the National
Football
League.
It's his resume, that's right.
And when he's had a quarterback top shelf, you know, the Packers have been a playoff team, a double-digit win team every year, won Super Bowls. I like that. Now,
he's got a better team right now, by the way, and that's better. The Cowboys are better than a 9-win team. If they don't win at least 10 to 11 games or 12, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, different sports are different, right? In Major League Baseball, it's about your pitching staff and your farm system if you're going to be competing. Did anybody talk about the manager?
Not really. You can win.
I liked A.J. Hinch, but cheater.
You can be an average manager with a great team and win.
Yeah. Do you have pitching? Do you have a deep farm system? Can you develop young players? NBA, it's about superstars. I mean, it's about your lead star, his running mate, and then can you add one more? Can you get a third? Gosh, if you get to four, you get to be the Bulls of the 90s because you have four Hall of Famers on your team.
You get to be
the
Golden State Warriors.
Right, yeah. If you get to four, if you have two, you're a contender. If you have three, you are elite. If you're four, you're a dynasty. But in pro football, it's quarterback coach.
It's amazing.
You got to have both. And so does Dallas have the coach now finally? What about the quarterback? Houston, quarterback, but what about the coach?
See, the Cowboys and they're both in the same spot.
Yeah.
Seems like.
All right, we'll come back. And guess what? In college football, it's the head coach.
Kind of is, isn't it?
It's the head coach, period. And the head coach, like Tom Herman would tell you, it's the head coach plus the program and the administration. Do they want to win championships or not? All right, your thoughts on all of that wide-ranging conversation centered around football. On this day, Bucky, 20 years of sobriety. So we're celebrating that this morning, and he did so by bringing me a fireball shot, so thank you.
There you go.
I thought maybe you were going to take this to celebrate 20 years.
Not going
to
do that.
And we'll tell you why that happened. Also, salacious gossip in your blitz. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We're having a good time on a Friday. Here's a guy that says, thanks for covering my Browns this morning.
It's all right.
It's been a top-to-bottom mess since 99. It's true. We were talking about Baker Mayfield, which led us to a Cowboys conversation. So, good conversation right there. We got Bucky 20 years sober today, which is exciting.
Very thankful. Very blessed. Very blessed.
And if you knew the Buck like I did before you stopped, very thankful.
Blessed. I'm very thankful, and one of the things I'm very thankful for the fact that I was blessed by God not to kill somebody's kid during the course of 20 years, because there were times where I don't remember how the hell did I get this car back here, what time was it, and that's to show you, and that has nothing to do with people that drink and then all of a sudden they're really geared into how they drive. That when I get a little bit tipsy, I'm really focused in on. No, that's just luck. That's just, you're just blessed. That's all. That you don't hit somebody and kill somebody and kill yourself. And that's all it was for me. It was all luck. I never thought that I was a fantastic driver when I had 4 shots of Jack Daniels and 6 Bud Lights. That had nothing to do with me being cognizant of what I was doing and I'm really focused in. That's just luck. That's just God's will not to have me kill myself or kill somebody else. So I was lucky for a long time. I really was. That's all it is. People can say how, no. When I have a couple drinks, I'm really focused in. I'm geared into what I'm doing when I'm behind the wheel. That's bull. You're just lucky. That's all.
That's all.
That's all it is.
Well, and very
And I think we've all
sure.
been there. There's not many of us that have had more than we should have had, and we got behind the wheel. And we have to talk to our kids about that. But for the adults out there, you know that there are times when you knew you had too many of those. But nobody said anything to you. You got your keys, and you said, you know what? I'll be really focused in on how I get home. You are just lucky. Yeah. That's all, and blessed at that time.
No doubt. And this Friday, think about that into the weekend for
yes,
sure.
Yes, for sure, please.
All right, so let me ask you this. You know, that Cleveland Browns conversation that came from a fan of Baker Mayfield, which led us into other conversations. On the way to the timeout, we were talking about key ingredients to championship teams in all pro sports, right? I mean, they're all different. It's each one has its own. You got to have certain strengths if you're going to win. And I was thinking about this in relation to the Spurs and then the NBA playoffs, because we've mentioned this morning that the Spurs, their streak is done. They've been to the playoffs 22 straight years. They're trying to make it 23, and in the end, they missed by a game. They had a chance on the final day. So yesterday's game was the first time the Spurs have taken a basketball floor as an organization since April of 1997 in a game that they knew was meaningless. Like, and up until that point, every game that they have played since 1997, there was still a chance to make the postseason, which is the goal at the start of every year. And it's a pretty amazing run. And it ties the Philadelphia 76ers for the longest record in team sports. And so I'm thinking about this, you know, the pivotal moment for the Spurs when they began this run, and we've gone back on the calendar that, you know, our afternoon host Brad Kellner was 2 years old, I believe the number is, or 3 years old when the Spurs last didn't make the playoffs. That's pretty eye-popping. Tiger Woods won his first major in 1997, won the Masters by 12 strokes, record-setting performance. That was also, so this is how far you go back.
Zay was going to first grade.
Zay was like 7, our producer Isaiah Collier. And that year, June 25th, the Spurs drafted Wake Forest power forward Tim Duncan with the first pick in the draft, breaking the hearts of all Boston Celtics fans everywhere. Well, and as we talk about in the NBA, right, if in football it's the head coach and the quarterback, if you have both, you have a stable organization, you're going to be a contender every year. And if you have a great coach and a great quarterback, you have a chance to win Super Bowls every year, right? I mean, it's a real simplistic way to look at it, but history would bear that out. Baseball, as we said, is built on pitching and a deep farm system, in my opinion, with some quality hitters. And then The NBA is built on superstars.
Yeah, players. So players calling their buddies up and saying, you want to come play with me.
And before the Heatles, it was usually drafting or in free agents to acquire players' trades. But so, point being, for this year, so when I looked at the Spurs, right, so the theory is if you have two superstar players, you're a playoff team. You have two great players.
For sure.
If you have three, you're a championship team. If you have three star players. That's, I mean, if your third best player all of a sudden becomes Chris Bosh.
If he's an all-star.
Yeah. I mean, if Chris Bosh is your third best player, you're a championship team. And if you take that a step further, if your fourth best player is an all-star.
I think at the Golden State Warriors.
You're
right?
Golden State, you're the yes. Bulls, and you're the Spurs. Right? If Tim Duncan's your best player.
Right.
And then you add Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, and now you're all the way down to your fourth player. And he also is, you know, a high-level all-star, which they had many years during that time. Plus, you have glue guys. You're the Spurs, right? And that's where it begins. Question being, in this year's NBA playoffs, which begin on Monday, who's got the most superstars on their team? Who's the favorite? Based on that criteria. Lakers have two, but who's their third? Don't know. Who's their third best player, Zay, in L.A. these days?
Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma.
He's not a take-you-over-the-top guy as a third. He's a really solid player. But there are not many teams that have that. Houston.
All right, Clippers.
Have two guys.
Clippers have Kawhi, Paul George, superstars. Who's their third?
They're the closest.
Because they have a bench. They have a couple guys that can come off the bench.
Yeah, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, they're both up
Lou!
For 6 minutes.
No, hell no. Hell no. Lou can't do it. You know Lou's not going to be able to do that. He's going to get hungry for some wings.
They're both up for 6 man of the year.
Again, Lou's already been 6 man, right?
Yeah, Lou's been in like 3 times, but Montrez should win it, but they combine for 38 points a game together.
So, yeah, they've got bench power as their third. They got two-thirds.
So, yeah, their strength is depth beyond the superstars, and then Doc Rivers, right? Doc Rivers is a championship-level coach, so that gives you some excitement. But then you look over in the East, the superstar power is in the West. You have Giannis in Milwaukee, but his second is Middleton, and his third is Brogdon, and down the list, but so they can win a championship. Toronto doesn't really have a superstar, unless you consider Pascal Siakam.
I would
a superstar,
not a superstar, but a star.
Okay,
I mean they would have three then, wouldn't they? You got I know you don't look at those ballers, those guys, the playground ballers they have, but they can play. By the way, they got the ring. They are the champs.
Here's a text that says, did Toronto have three stars when they were the champs? No, that's the thing, right? They're the outlier. I mean, if you go back 30 years and you start listing off NBA champions.
Well, their coach is going to get a lot of credit. That guy can coach.
Nick Nurse. A high majority of the last 30 years, the teams that won the championship had at least two all-stars, usually three, and a lot of times a fringe fourth.
Buying that, yes.
Who were winning championships, whether it was the Bulls, the Spurs, you know, the Golden State Warriors.
But they seem to when you
the
go
Laker
to
the teams with Shaq and Kobe.
When you go to four players, those teams seem to win easily. They don't get to seven game. They don't get to
they're dominate.
Yeah, they dominate. Dynasty, they win. Right? They win in five. See you later.
And so yeah, if you have the three, I mean, you know, when the Bulls had Jordan and Pippen as top five players and the best player, and then they would add, you know, a guy. All of a sudden, you bring in.
They never
Dennis
got to
Rodman.
Seven, right?
Yeah, you bring in Dennis Rodman, who's a Hall of Fame player. You bring in, I mean, when they get to four deep of all-stars, well, you're done.
And there was never a threat. They never got to seven games.
And the Warriors, when the Warriors had Kevin Durant, come on.
No.
I mean, when healthy, what are you going to do? It's a game of numbers. But I don't know that there's a team this year that fits that criteria, which is it makes it fun, right? It makes it really interesting. It's kind of wide open where a team like, as Jay has pointed out, a team like Portland, because of their strength versus the Lakers' weaknesses, could actually give the Lakers a really good first-round series because Damian Lillard is unconscious, and their backcourt with C.J. McCollum, their bigs are back and healthy who can bang and rebound. That becomes a scary series. And I don't think Portland can win the championship, but am I wrong on this, Zay, based on that conversation that this is a year where a team we're not really talking about could win the whole thing?
No, you're not wrong at all. With Portland, they looked pretty tired, though, yesterday. I think they have a lot of emotional energy that's running kind of low, which they've had a lot of games to play for because they're just trying to get in. But, yeah, if they keep relying on Dame so much, then that Lakers series could be quick.
But there are teams of the future. There are teams, like you said, you guys talk about Phoenix. Those are teams that somebody wants to go play with those guys. They're really good.
Yeah.
The Celtics just seem to be treading water. Sixers, now they're really just treading water.
Celtics have been
disappointing. But Brooklyn's another team that You know,
well, when Brooklyn gets Kevin Durant and all those guys back, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
They should be formidable. But for this year's playoffs, it's probably Clippers, Lakers.
Surprise team could be the Blazers, maybe.
I would put Denver. Denver in that conversation. Now, they don't have household superstar names yet, but you know, they've got all-star players and a deep roster. Because there's no one that fits the criteria we're talking about one of those dynasty teams, one of those multiple championship, you know, winning teams. So it very well could be a team we're not even talking about.
Very soon we'll be
like Toronto last year.
Very soon we'll be talking about the Dallas Mavericks with the two studs that they have and the coach who everybody tends to think he's one of the top coaches in the NBA. There are going to be players that want to come and play in Dallas.
That series is going to be good. Porzingis looks good.
He's healthy. Like he really is healthy.
Yeah, he's
now
looking like the old New York Knicks Porzingis. Mm. That series is going to be a lot better than what people think.
Somebody mentioned the Dallas Mavericks of 2011 as being an outlier. That's true, but I would say this for the Mavericks in 11. You had Dirk, who's a Hall of Famer. You had Vince Carter, who's a Hall of Famer. You have Jason Kidd, who is a Hall of Famer.
Wow.
You've got Tyson Chandler at center. That was a pretty damn talented team. Now,
that was a physical team, too.
I mean, Jason Kidd's an all-time great point guard.
Probably the 04 Pistons might have been the team with no superstars, but a Hall of Fame coach and Larry Brown was the last team to really do it.
Because I could argue that Mavericks team had two superstars. I mean, you're talking about Jason Kidd and Dirk Nowitzki, and then you throw your three is now Vince Carter and your four is Sean Marion. That's a pretty good basketball team. Marion was on that team, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if Vince was. They had J.J. Barea stepped up, Peja.
I remember that roster.
Deshaun Stevenson, that team. They had shooters everywhere.
Yeah, and they had the right mix of guys to go with those Hall of Fame players. Yeah, Sean Marion was on that team. And, no Vince Carter. No, I apologize. But Jason Terry was the fourth, right? Sean Marion was the third. Jason Terry, the Jet, was the fourth. And he was a really good player.
What a pain in the ass he was.
He was a really good player. All right, we'll come back. We will take your thoughts on that, how you win championships and who wins this championship in the NBA. Playoffs start Monday. We've got Salacious Gossip. We've got your Blitz. They come next. Load it up. It's only as good as you make it. It's been a good week of Blitz calls. So let's make it a great weekender. Coming next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip ahead of your Blitz. Phone lines already lighted up, so bring them strong. 447-3776. Finish the week with a good one here in a moment. First, the gossip. You say you hate it, don't eat it. You know you love it. You got to have it. It'll be what you're talking about today. It is Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Only the four great ingredients brewed right here deep in the heart. It's going to be really, really hot, so hydrate with the water. But then have a few Bud Lights when you're watching your sporting events this weekend, enjoying some downtime on what's going to be National Relaxation Day is this weekend, Buck. National Relaxation Day. And so maybe a couple of Bud Lights or a Bud Light seltzer done smartly.
Mm-hmm.
As you've encouraged people, you can still, if you're a social drinker, just have a drink or two.
That's right.
Enjoy your drinks.
Of course you can.
Bud Light Lime is a good thing for the holidays. For the hot days that we're dealing with. Summertime in August, Bud Light Lime always good as well. We appreciate all our friends over at the Dell Diamond. And you know what? Tomorrow night they're out at the Dell Diamond. They're having that UFC fight watch event. We're socially distanced. You can reserve your square 6x6 and root on and watch the card, the UFC fight card with your friends. You know, the sports bars are normally where fight fans gather to watch these big Saturday night cards, but can't do it. They're dealing with all the same restrictions that everyone else is. But Dell Diamond's got plenty of space, a huge screen, and great sound system. So get out there, and if you're a fight fan, enjoy that.
Absolutely.
With a nice cold Bud Light. Tomorrow is National Relaxation Day, Buck. We need it more than ever this year. Here is from mentalfloss.com.
Say mental floss?
Yeah, it's a website. Mental floss.
Okay, got that.
When you floss your teeth, you can also floss
your brain.
Sharpen your brain up a little
bit.
Clean out the plaque. Five things that can help you relax on National Relaxation Day. Get a house plant. Studies have shown that patients in hospital rooms with plants report lower stress levels, and the plants may help improve the quality of your air. So get yourself a house plant.
It's a myth.
Eat a banana, some citrus, or dark chocolate. The potassium in bananas helps your body regulate blood pressure. Vitamin C in citrus helps some of the effects of the stress on your body. And just 40 grams of dark chocolate a day can reduce your levels of stress hormones. Moans.
So far, one and two make me want to drink again.
You want like that nice piece of dark chocolate and a banana?
Like dark chocolate.
Stick some.
You know what I need in my chocolate? D's nuts. That's what I need in chocolate.
Not just drink plain green chocolate. Tea sweetened with honey.
Yep.
Green tea can help lower your heart rate and blood pressure.
Starting to look for a Jack and a Chaser already. Keep it up.
And it turns out here, according to mentalfloss.com, the honey has been shown to counteract free radicals and reduce inflammation, which sometimes is linked to depression.
It sounds like a city council drink coming up. This sounds like city council stuff right here. What else we got?
Also defund the police. Oh, I'm sorry. Give yourself a hand massage. If you spend all day at a computer, your hands get really tense. A quick massage of your hands loosens them up and eases all your tensions. Hand massage. Or mow the lawn. Mow the lawn.
No.
There's a chemical release that freshly cut grass, the smell of freshly cut grass that makes people feel happy and relaxed. Plus, it's off your to-do list, so there you go.
1960s person brought this thing
mental
into
floss.
Play. Mental floss.
I think those were all good ideas, and they all had good reasons for it, biologically, in your body.
Okay.
Like, wow, this helps you. Relax. Also, you know, during a study from the same website, Buck said 41% of us have had conversations with our pets during the lockdown.
Oh, I was doing that before anyway.
Just long conversations with the pet?
Oh, yeah. I talk to the dog all the time about, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I pay the bills here. Why are you eating so much? Why won't you get in the car? Why does your vet bill cost so much? You're just a dog. That's why you have a $3,000 limit. When you go over that, say goodbye to that one.
That's awesome. And I got to ask you this, then we'll release the hounds.
Okay.
Here was a survey done.
Somebody says, I smoke my house plants. Sure you do.
Even better. Even better.
Oh, boy. I smoke
survey given, plants. What would you give up? Here it is. Here we go. We got
okay.
What would you give up to never pay taxes again? 1 in 20 people surveyed said they would give up their best friend to never pay taxes again.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Never pay taxes again. Would you give up music? 8% said they would give up music forever to not have to pay taxes.
Mm-mm.
Driving.
I don't play video games. If that's one, I'm out.
Okay. And we also had the story of the Seattle Seahawks cornerback who got kicked off the team for trying to bring a secret woman into the hotel after hours. Come on, man.
NFL's going to be tough.
Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
What's up?
It's the final
countdown. I don't want to hear that relaxation weekend. Hopefully I never hear that. Next Blitzer, you're up. Bravo!
Totoro!
What's up, man?
Happy Friday!
Thank you, brother.
Totoro, I got a word for you. The word of the day today is Caliman. It's a Mexican adventure superhero. Let me use it in a sentence for you. Tavo exhibits adventurous superhero skills. That's why he is a Caliman.
Caliman. Thank you very much, Tavo. Appreciate that. Always good to hear, Tavo. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Help, I'm falling from my porta potty and I can't get up. This is Michael Cabo.
Stop, man.
Congrats on your sobriety. I'm 26, and in December, I will be a year of no sports betting and no drinking.
No sports betting or drinking.
Nice.
Great.
Double dip.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Lucky dude. I'm the best left-hander that ever lived. This is the stranger.
The stranger, yeah. Stranger danger. Next Blitzer, you're up.
This is the ghost of Howard Cosell. And my Super Bowl prediction is the Houston Oilers 45, the St. Louis Football Cardinals 38.
Sound like Howard a little bit. Good job. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yes.
Guess what? Roll Tide.
Oh, come on, man. Roll Tide. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yes, I'm going to enjoy later National Relaxation Day with a penis massage.
Good for you. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Gee, did you say massage yourself with your hands and smoke your houseplants?
Yeah, kind of that way. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Sup, playa. Cue the heifer sound effect. I'm going downtown this weekend. This is Brad Kelman.
Cue the heifer. Okay. Cue it. Chew it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Mmm.
Hey, fuck.
Yes.
You got any
cooking tips for your son, BK. He's become an all-around jack of all trades, you know what I mean.
He is becoming a little man, woman. He really is. Next Blitzer,
oh
you're up.
Gosh.
Man. Freedom Friday. As we celebrate the Bucks' freedom, allow me to remind you people of your freedom. Amendment 1 is Amendment 1 for a reason. Amendment 2 is to remind you of the reason.
Thank you very much. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Pippin, man. Fellas, let's get good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Big Pippin. What's up?
Good morning. Hey, I just got one thing to say about the NBA future playoffs. Watch the Lakers, man. Please, everybody's hating on them. Give the Lakers a chance. Keep it pimping.
I'm good with the Lakers. I picked them to win. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Did someone say penis massage?
Oh, hand massage.
Hand massage. No one said that.
Hand massage. Relaxing. Massage. Well, the other one might be relaxing, too. I don't
massage
know.
Your hand. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Just got me a new set of pings, Bucky. And ooh. Bama just got another 5-star. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. He got a set of new pings. I like that. I've never been a ping guy. Never hit pings before.
I'm playing Callaway's currently.
Ah, there you go.
Not loving those irons, Joe. I have to look into some other ones. I like them. Don't love them.
I'm a Mitsubishi guy.
Hey, by the way, this says, did you guys say honey helps eliminate radicals? Can we get some honey for the people running our city?
Wow.
Good one. We'll be back. B&E on the horn.